All right, let's turn into your Bible to actually Romans chapter 11 first. I want to kind of give a little bit more of an introduction to what we're going to be seeing today. We're going to be covering Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. We've been coming through, and especially the last couple of weeks, and really seeing what we need to do as far as having really the peace of God in our life. We looked at verses 6 and 7 a couple of weeks ago and just seeing how we need to be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And the result of that is having peace of God as far as our heart and mind is concerned. And then last week we covered just verse 8 and looking at the 8 things that we need to think about and talking about having your mind renewed. And so we've been looking a lot at that, which has been, I think, really good, especially for the day and age that we're in and everything that we've been dealing with in 2020. But today we're going to be looking at something specifically, really getting back to our overall theme far as chapter 4 Philippians is concerned. If you remember in chapter 1, we talked about having a vision to serve. In chapter 2, we talked about having a vision for others. In chapter 3, we talked about having a vision to lead. And in chapter 4 now, we're dealing with a vision of dealing with accountability. Understanding that we're going to be held accountable for our Christian walk. After the rapture of the church or the resurrection of the body of Christ, we'll be at the throne room. We'll be before the judgment seat of Christ to where not our sins will be judged. That's already taken care of Calvary's cross. But our service will be judged. What did we do as Christians? And so today, as we're going to be looking at Philippians 4 and 9, we're really going to be looking at really what is the foundation of what we're going to be held accountable for, and that's a doctrine that's given to us by Jesus Christ, but through the Apostle Paul. And that's why I titled today's message, dealing with the Apostle of the Gentiles. And so if you're in Romans chapter 11, I want you to look down at verse 13, because this verse deals with that very aspect of Paul talking to the Romans and talking about how he is the Apostle of the Gentiles. In Romans chapter 11, down in verse 13, it says this, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the Apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." Now we know that Peter, James, and John, they were apostles. You know, you had the 12 apostles, but they were specifically for the nation of Israel, the Jews, and the doctrine that was given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ uses the Apostle Paul to give the doctrine as to the Gentiles of the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is primarily made up of Gentiles. I also want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 before we actually get back to Philippians 4. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter, not chapter 12, but chapter 11, actually. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. Now again, I want you to understand, we need to understand what we're looking at, that this is the Word of God. And understanding that God is using Paul to be able to show us how to follow him in this dispensation of grace that we're in. It's different than what Jesus Christ was teaching the Jews in the dispensation of the kingdom, all right? Don't want to get too much in the weeds with that, but we need to understand this, exactly what we're going to be held accountable for. Now notice what it says here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now, Paul's not asking the Corinthians or asking believers in Christ just to follow him, to follow a man. He's saying, follow me as I am following Christ. And we'll talk about that even more so as we get into Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. It's not a matter of just following a man. It's a matter of following the Lord Jesus Christ. But God gives us the example and of the Apostle Paul to be able to show us how we need to follow Christ, again, in the time that we live in this dispensation of grace. Now, I want you to go to our text, Philippians chapter 4. And verse 9, I'm going to go ahead and read that again. I'm going to read from verse 8 just because of the context of the 8 things that we're supposed to be thinking on. Again, so Philippians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 8, but obviously go to verse 9 and what we're looking at today. It says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, verse 9, it says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Now, remember, the last number of weeks we've been coming through, we've been seeing the things that we have are commands that God has given us. He commands us to pray. All right, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. I mean, he commands us to, again, think on these things. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." All right? Think on these things, those 8 different things. And now he says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." Command. "And the God of peace shall be with you." Now, this is what you got to understand. Now, either God is using Paul, and this is the Word of God, or Paul is one of the most conceited people on the face of the planet. Either you believe that this is the Word of God that is to us, or Paul is like on a prideful trip or something like that. You need to follow me. And what we got to understand, of course, is that this is the Word of God. Now, understand this statement. All the Word of God is for you, but not all the Word of God is to you. Right? The Word of God is there for doctrine, for inspiration, and historical, and so on. And there's anywhere in the Bible we can derive an application, an inspirational application. But when we talk about doctrine, that is something that we're going to be held accountable for. That is something that we're going to do. All right? It's not like you go to the Bible and like, hey, I like this or whatever. I need to follow this. In other words, yeah, it's supposed to rain today. I don't know. I guess by weather forecast, it's supposed to have been raining already, and it hasn't been raining. But let's say it starts raining a whole bunch. Well, God told Noah to build an ark. It's in the Bible, so I better start building an ark. All right? Or, you know what? It talks about bringing a lamb for a sacrifice. That's in the Bible. Well, how come we're not doing that? Again, everything is for us to learn from, but not everything is to us. And what is to us in our dispensation is what's been given to us through the apostle of the Gentiles, the apostle Paul. All right, so we're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to dissect this verse a little bit, and I hope we get a better understanding of the importance of what we need to see here, as we will be held accountable for this at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. And Lord, I thank you for just being able to come through the Word of God. You've laid on my heart this book for this year, and it's a great book to go through, especially in everything that we're dealing with. Our overall vision to be able to grow, and the way that we grow is going through some tough times, some tribulations, some suffering. Those things and that we've seen in 2020 has been a lot, but it's been opportunities for us to be able to grow and to be able to learn in our walk and relationship with you. Now, Father, help us to see the things that we need to be doing today. And again, this is just the tip of the iceberg. It's not something that's an in-depth study that is going to lay out all of our doctrine that we're supposed to be following in this dispensation of grace. But what we need to understand is the importance of what is to us and how we need to follow you. Like Paul says, that we need to follow him as he also follows Christ. You have given us this example biblically of how to follow you during this time. So, Lord, give us understanding. Open up our hearts. Open up our minds, Lord, so we're able to see this, because it is so lacking today in Christianity that we really don't study the Word of God like we need to, that we really don't take it to heart. Lord, let it be different for us today. Help us to take your Word to heart. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, so Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, it says this, those things which ye have both learned. So the first point in dealing with the things that we have learned of Paul. Again, God using Paul to get us the Word of God. It is the written Word of God. It's not just the words that are in red in your Bible that are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Word of God. All of the Word of God is the Word of God, and especially what God gives Paul to be able to give to us. Now, I'm warning you're going to do a couple of cross-references per point, but it's necessary. I want to actually go back to Romans, but this time, chapter 16 and verse 17. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. The day is probably going to be more teaching than preaching, but with me, of course, you never know. But Romans chapter 16, down in verse 17. We want to study the Scriptures. That's what the Word of God tells us to do, to study to show ourselves approved unto Him. So in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, it says this. Again, Paul speaking to the Romans. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Again, the things that Paul taught them, the things that they have learned, if there's something that's against those, somebody is teaching something that's against the doctrine that God has given to Paul to give to us, then you need to mark that person. You need to avoid them because they're causing divisions. Unfortunately, Satan just can't leave God's Word, the truth, alone. He's going to corrupt it. He is going to make sure that he has his teachers, those that are out there that are teaching for their own purpose, whatever the case is, to try to deceive you. And we have to know the truth that's been laid out for us. I'll say this, and probably say it again through this message, but I want to, from the get-go, we've got to understand that the letters that Paul writes to us, the church, are from Romans through Philemon. Again, it doesn't mean that we don't use the rest of the Bible. All the Bible is for us. But what is doctrinally to us are the things that are written from Romans through Philemon is given to us. And that's what we need to make sure that we know. We got to have it down. I've used this example before. There's a lot of counterfeit money that's out there. And it's not like that you have to study all the different counterfeits that are out there, because there's always constantly new ones coming up. What we need to do is study the true money. You know how it feels, what it looks like, the different security, that sort of stuff. You know, if somebody gives me a $100 bill, I know exactly what to look for to make sure that $100 bill is not counterfeit. All right? I don't have to study all the counterfeits. I study the truth. So when I see a counterfeit, I immediately know it's a counterfeit because I've studied the truth so much. Well, same thing with the Word of God. We need to make sure that we learn the things that we see that's been given to us, the doctrine by Paul, so that we can spot a counterfeit when it's coming or when it's speaking to us. I'll give you another reference for this before we go back to Philippians. I want you to go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The things that we've learned of Paul. So he's telling the Romans, again, the doctrine laid out. Make sure you mark those that are teaching something different. You want to avoid that so you don't get deceived and confused. Now notice what he's talking about to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to look down at verse 14. Remember, Paul's getting ready to pass off the scene. He's going to be beheaded by Nero, and he's given Timothy these final charges to be able to continue on the truth of the Word of God and teaching it. And he says this in verse 14. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Again, and he goes on talking about from a child he's known the Holy Scriptures, and again, the Scriptures are going to be able to make you wise unto salvation and be able to be prepared unto every good work, as far as the rest of this chapter is concerned. But he's saying, hey, Timothy, I need you to continue to on with the things that you've learned of me, knowing whom you've learned them of. In other words, Paul taught Timothy. He was a spiritual father in a faith, and he wants Timothy to continue to on with that, what he's learned. It's the same thing for us today. It's not a matter of just, okay, you learn something and then put it aside, but you need to continue in what you have learned. We all know it. It's like if you stop doing something that you have learned, you tend to lose it. Now, if you bring a drum set in here, all right, I'd be like, oh, that's awesome. It's a drum set. And I can sit down and play that drum set pretty well, all right? I started playing when I was in fifth grade. And something that I worked and worked hard and practiced, had a natural God-given talent for it, but it's something that I did professionally. I played all the time. I mean, every day I practice 2-3 hours, all right? I don't do that anymore. Now, I can play. You can obviously tell that I have had some experience in playing drums. But there is no way I am where I was when I was in college and playing professionally. There's no way I'm there. I've lost those kind of chops, all right? Because I haven't been doing it. You lose it. All right? I've told you before, like at one point in time, I memorized the book of 1 Thessalonians. All right? The whole entire book. I don't have that anymore because I haven't kept with that. I haven't continued to work on that. You guys can have your own examples that you know, the things that maybe you've done well in your life, but you have stopped doing it. You don't have it anymore. Well, the Word of God is no different. All right? The things that we learn, we need to continue in those things so that, again, that we don't lose it. And, again, if we start forgetting the things that the Lord has shown us in the Word of God, then that can affect our lives. We start doing the things that are not according to truth. And remember, we're going to be held accountable before the Lord. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Let's pick up the next point. Again, verse 9, it says, "Those things which you have both learned and received." So we're talking about learning from Paul and now received of Paul. I want you to go back to Acts chapter 17. This is the second time that Paul is out on what is called his missionary journey. And he just come from Thessalonica. And again, it's an incredible church. There's a lot of good that was going on there. But there's a lot of persecution that's happening. He gets run out of town. And then he goes to this place called Berea. And I want you to notice what he says about the Bereans. Now, again, the Thessalonians is a good church. We've seen a number of cross-references coming through Philippians from the Thessalonians, or the book of Thessalonians. And so they're a good church, but the Bereans are even better, in a sense, to Paul's experience with the Thessalonians. So I want you to look down and see what he says in Acts chapter 17, down to verse 11. It says this, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." They were more noble than the Thessalonians. Why? Because they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. And not only that, they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. They just didn't automatically take Paul's word for it. They searched it out themselves. But they had a heart attitude. They had a mind that they were ready to receive it and again to search things out. You shouldn't come here or listen online and just, hey, Charles said it, so it must be true. Now, again, I'm going to do everything in my power to teach you the truth and not try to corrupt or change the Word of God or anything like that for any benefit of mine. I want to try to preach the pure Word of God. But it is also on you to search the Scriptures and make sure the things that I am teaching are so. And if I am wrong, guess what? You ought to come up to me, hey, you said this, you taught this, you were preaching this, but this is what I see in the Word of God. And I should have the heart attitude of the same. Be ready to receive the Word of God. Yeah, I'm wrong? Sorry, let me correct that. All right? And we're all under, should be under the same authority as the Word of God. So the Bereans, again, they were ready to receive. Their mind was ready to receive the Word of God. And again, we live in a day and age, like I talked about, I probably talk about almost every week, where people don't want the Word of God. We talk about, you know, you want to have peace. It's not just prayer, but it's tied in the Word of God. All right, we'll see it again at the end of this message. All right? It's a matter of we need the Word. What the eight things we're supposed to think about last week, they're all tied back to what? The Word of God. All right? And like, we people, we don't want to get into the book. It's like, oh, it's such a big book and everything like that. Yet people have no problems reading a Harry Potter book or Lord of the Rings. I'm like, have you seen those books? I mean, they're huge. You know, I have a problem reading, but when it comes to the Bible, oh, no, I can't. No, 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 you don't understand, Pastor. No, it's God's Word, and we should be able to, ready to receive it. Now, we talked, it's interesting enough, because this is dealing with the Bereans, and we talked about the Thessalonians, but I do want you to see what Paul says about the Thessalonians. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. I mean, Paul talks about the things that you have learned of me, the things that you have received. Again, ready to receive the truth of the Word. Notice what he says about the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, down in verse 13. This is perhaps one of the most important verses of the Bible. You've heard me say this many times because of what it says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says this: "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also and you that believe." Most incredible verse in the Bible. He's thanking the Thessalonians again. And the reason why he's thanking the Thessalonians is because what? They're receiving the Word of God as the Word of God. They're not receiving it as the Word of men. They're not receiving it, oh, this is the Word of Paul. This is the Word of Timothy. This is the Word of Silas. Because when you go back to the beginning of Thessalonians, you see that it was those three guys that were working in this church in Thessalonica. They didn't receive it as the Word of Paul. Get that in your mind. Yet we are to follow Paul, following Christ, but understand something, that what God uses through the Apostle Paul to teach us is not the words of Paul, it's the Word of God. And so we need to have this mindset of being ready to receive the Word of God as the Word of God. How many people that you've maybe witnessed to or talked to says, oh, it's a man wrote the Bible and man makes mistakes, so the Bible is filled with mistakes. They don't take it as the Word of God. It is the Word of God. When I was in college at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, go Roos! I had an anthropology class. I have a sociology degree. And one of my anthropology teachers, I called him Mr. Monkey, because he was all about evolution and so forth. And before class, I always had my Bible with me, and I would read before class and stuff like that. And I remember Professor Monkey asked me one day, it's like, well, why do you read this book? Why not any other book or anything like that? I said, because it's the Word of God. It's the only book that's written by 40 different authors over a time period of 2,000 years, and there's no contradictions in it. It's the Word of God. That's why I read it. That was my answer. All right? I always wonder what happened to Mr. Monkey. I hope he got saved. I don't know. But anyhow, I don't have time to deal with him. He didn't like me. I have too many questions. Anyhow, I digress. But we got to be ready to receive the Word of God as the Word of God. Now, I want you to look. If you're still in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, I want to show you why this is the most important verse, one of the most important verses of the Bible. It says, "For this cause, also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God," notice this last phrase, "which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The word of God will work effectually if you believe it. If you don't believe it, it's not going to work for you. We're talking about by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God even gives us the faith to believe. But if you don't believe that this is the word of God, guess what? The most powerful book in the universe will never work for you. Because you don't believe it. You have to believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe that, you know, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, he was buried, and rose again the third day? If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he will save you from the penalty of death and hell for all eternity, and that you will be with God? Do you believe that? And if you believe that, praise God. But do you believe everything that the Word of God says? Have you put God's Word to the test? What about what we talked about these last couple of weeks? Do you have peace of heart and mind? Because the Bible says, God's Word says, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what the Word of God says. Do you believe it? Or you got a bunch of care still in you? We talked about having your mind renewed. The eight things that you're supposed to think on. Have you thought on things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are of good report, the things that are of virtue, the things of praise? Have we been thinking on those things? Because, again, that's how we start having peace of heart and mind. That's what the Word of God says. Do you believe it? You go back to Philippians. In chapter 4, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard. The things that we hear of Paul. Again, I want you to go back to Acts with me, to chapter 19 this time. Acts chapter 19. And we're going to look down verses 8 through 10. This is incredible. And it's like, this is something that I desire for us as a church, as a people, that we can have this same kind of testimony when we talk about the things that are heard of Paul. Again, the doctrine that was given to Paul, to us. Notice this situation here. It's absolutely incredible. Acts chapter 19, and we'll pick it up in verse 8. It says this, "And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened, he and believed not," so they didn't have 1 Thessalonians 2:13 down, it says, "but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Now get that. I mean, all of Asia, this would be what we would call today modern Asia Minor, the country of Turkey in that area, is what we're talking about. But Paul is speaking and preaching the truth of the word of God. Again, not the word of Paul, but the word of God. That all of Asia heard it. Wouldn't that be a credible testimony for us as Faith Bible Church that, you know, for the time that God gives us here, let's say in the next couple of years that we are, if we have 2 years left, that we're preaching and teaching the Word of God to the people in our family, to the people in our neighborhood, to the people in our community, people at work, whatever, that it came that all Southeast Kansas heard the Word of God because of what we allowed God to do through our lives. That was Paul. See, Paul was heard. And what did they hear from Paul? The Word of God. What are the residents of Southeast Kansas hearing from us? Is it the truth of the Word of God? Or is it something else? The things that are heard. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I know these are familiar verses, but I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 first and foremost. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to look down at verse 13. Again, this is Paul giving instructions to Timothy as he's going to be passing off the scene. Notice what it says here. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, down in verse 13, it says this: "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Again, Paul's not on some ego trip here. This is not the doctrine of Paul. God uses Paul to give us the doctrine that we're supposed to live by, and he's encouraging Timothy to hold fast to the form. Hold fast. Think that you've heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. You're in 2 Timothy. Just look over in chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, down in verse 2. Familiar verse for us around here. This is what our discipleship ministry is based off of. It says this, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2: "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You got four generations there. You got Paul teaching Timothy. Timothy is to teach faithful men, and the faithful men are to teach others. "The things that thou hast heard of me, keep the same." Don't change it. Don't corrupt it. Don't vary it. Don't put your own twist on it. You know why Paul says that? Because Paul received it from the Lord exactly that way. Don't change it. "The same commit thou to faithful men." So, Timothy heard Paul, and the faithful men heard Timothy, and these others heard the faithful men. Again, what are we doing? Are we preaching and teaching the truth of the Word of God? If only we got to be living it, and then preaching and teaching it, are people hearing it? Just like it was delivered to Paul these many years ago. Continue on. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me." It's exactly what we're talking about, what I just literally mentioned about, you know, we're going to be preaching and teaching the Word of God. We need to make sure that we are living the Word of God. And Paul says, "The things that you've seen of me." It reminds me of just parents and dealing with kids. It's like kids will far more pick up on what they see you do as opposed to what they hear you say. Now, you've got to say the truth. They need to hear the truth, but you better make sure you're living it. And we tell our kid, you know, hey, you need to make sure you make your bed once you get up in the morning. But by God, we better make sure as parents we're making the bed. Because the kid's going to come in and say, "Well, Mommy, Daddy, how come your bed's not... Why do I need to make my bed? Because your bed's not made." All right? We all can have our examples of that. Paul says, hey, if you want to follow me as I follow Christ, again, what did we see in Paul's life? Not just what we've learned, not just what we received, not just what we heard, but what did we see? Now, none of us were alive when Paul was around, but we have the preserved Word of God, and we see the things. God preserved it for us in His Word to see how Paul walked with God. And we can see it as we spend time in the Word of God.
I didn't plan to have this, but I've got a reference coming in from the Lord here. I need you to go to 1 John real quick. Real quick. Because you see the same type of thing. 1 John, I'm going to look in, I think it's chapter 3 that I want. Hold on. No, chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to look at the first three verses. That's where it's coming from. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It says, "That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of Life." That Word of Life, you know, it's capital W. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. "It's for the life was manifest manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Again, things that were seen, what they saw. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Over and over again in these three verses, we're talking about what they saw in Christ, how their hands have handled everything that they, their relationship, their fellowship that they had with Christ, and they want others to be able to have that same kind of fellowship. So the things that they saw in Jesus Christ, the things that they heard, the things that they have handled, they are communicating that to others. That means others are seeing them, seeing the Word of God active in their life. And it's the same testimony that we need to have with our doctrine of what Paul received from the Lord Jesus Christ for us. That needs to be evident in our life. Paul's not asking us to follow him, but to follow him as he's following Christ. If Paul's not following Christ, then we better not be following Paul. But we have it preserved for us in the Word of God exactly how Paul lived his life. God is giving us this human example of how we need to follow Him and how we need to be an example to others. Now I want to go to another book that Paul writes. Doctrinally it's not to us, but we see the same thing. I want you to go to the book of Hebrews. Well, how come you say it's not doctrinally to us? Because it says Hebrews. It's written to the Hebrews. I mean, God uses Paul to be able to deal with them and their doctrine even. But I want you to notice in chapter 13, the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, down in verse 7. Paul's talking about the leaders that they have and what they are responsible to as far as the leaders are concerned. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. It says this, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." Now so they're hearing them speak the word of God, but notice what it says here to finish this verse. "Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Now remember, the word conversation in the Bible is not just what you say, it's what you do. And so Paul's not telling to follow the religious leaders, you know, just because they're the religious leaders. Listen to what they're saying, but you follow them in their conversation. You consider their conversation. If their manner of life is not following what the Word of God says, guess what? Don't dare follow them. Same thing is true with our doctrine. All right? For those who are pastors, it's like, you've got to consider the conversation. This is what I'm preaching. I preach to myself. Alright, that's what's great about expositional preaching. I can't just pick and choose what I want and skip over things that deal with me. But God has so seen fit to put me in the office as a pastor in a church, then I gotta make sure my life, I'm doing everything I can to make sure my life is matching up to the Word of God. And you know what? It's not just what a pastor's supposed to do. It's what all of us as Christians are supposed to do. How many times have you heard it? Oh, I don't want to go to church. I'm not going to church because I'm not going to be a Christian because they're just hypocrites. Say one thing and do another. And it's like, we need to make sure, if we're going to have the authority about what we're going to say, and we need to because people need to hear the truth of the Word of God, we need to make sure that we're doing everything, that we are doing the truth of the Word of God, that we are living up to what the Word of God says. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. In verse 9, it says this, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." One word command. Do. You've learned it from me. You received it from me. You heard it from me. You've seen it in me. Do. Because the things that they learned was the Word of God. The things that they received was the Word of God. The things that they heard was the Word of God. And the things that they saw in Paul was, guess what? The Word of God. So do that. That's not a hard commandment to understand. It's not a difficult message to understand. I guess Nike's got it right in that. Just do it.
No, I'm not getting any endorsements from Nike. I'm not. You know, maybe kind of nice to have some Nike money, but I don't have that. Just do it. Do. Not just know. Not just understand. Do. I want to take you back to the Old Testament. Fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5, we're going to look down near the end of that chapter in verse 32. Now, as you make your way there, I'll give you a little bit of understanding. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is giving the law again. That's literally what Deuteronomy means, the repetition of the law. And the reason why is because the generation that came out of Egypt was rebellious in the wilderness. They didn't want to follow God's word. They didn't want to trust God to go into the promised land. You know, hey, those giants in there, and we can't do that. We'll just stay over here. And we'd rather die in the wilderness than to try to do that. And God said, okay. Sometimes you've got to be careful what you pray for. God said, okay. So there's a new generation after 40 years in the wilderness that have come up, that's getting ready to go into the promised land, but Joshua's going to be their leader. And so Moses is giving the nation of Israel the word of God again. All right, the law for them. Now I want you to notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 5, down in verse 32. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 32. It says, ye shall observe to do. That is the key phrase in the book of Deuteronomy. Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. This is not Moses' word. It's God's word. It's God's commandments. And it says, ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. All right? Stay on the path. All right? This is the word of God. These are the commandments. Laying it out. Observe to do that. Don't go to the right or to the left. The image that comes to mind for me is like, you know, when Trish and I were on our 30th anniversary vacation, we were in another part of Idaho, Coeur d'Alene. And so we're literally just like, you know, 30 minutes or so from the state of Washington. I'd never been in the state of Washington, so I got to add to my collection of states that I've been to. And so we hop over to Washington before we went over to Missoula, Montana. And so we go up to Mount Spokane, all right? And it's beautiful. I mean, beautiful, but you got to understand something. I'm not sure this before. I've got PTSD when it comes to driving up mountains. All right, we did it in Colorado up Mount Evans, and it was a terrifying time for me because I'm driving, and there's a mountain on the left or on the right, and then there's this sheer death on the left. And again, to this day, I will never understand why they go through the effort of building a road up a mountain and they don't put any guardrails there. You go to the right or to the left, you just die. I don't understand it. So we're going up Mount Spokane, and it's like it's fine for a while, but then it gets to these hairy little places, and you never know when an opposing car is going to come. I don't know the thing. How can they make it two lanes? Maybe one lane or something. I mean, and I get a little bit scared. But it's a reminder of me of dealing with what we're saying in Deuteronomy. Stay on the path. Stay focused. Don't go to the right or to the left. You go to the right or left, there's going to be some issues. There's going to be some problems. Stay on the path. No matter how it winds up, no matter what comes with it, stay on the path. Just do that. Observe to do. See, do. See, do. See what the Word of God says and do it. Don't vary from it. Paul tells Timothy the same thing. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5 real quick. As you make your way there, I'll give you a little bit of the context. 1 Timothy chapter 5, we're going to look down at verse 21. And this is where, this is a chapter that Paul is laying out a church responsibility or the family's responsibility to widows and widows indeed. A church shouldn't be responsible for taking care of widows unless they're widows indeed. They don't have any family that's able to take care of them. They're 60 years of age or plus. You know, they have a good testimony. There's all these different qualifications that are laid out. He also talks about, you know, taking care of the pastor. And again, it's that accountability for the pastor. Make sure the pastor that if he's doing what's wrong, he needs to be rebuked before all so others fear. I mean, a number of different commandments. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 21. Paul telling Timothy this. It says this, chapter 5, 21 of 1 Timothy. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. In other words, everything that is laid out for us, the doctrine for us in the Word of God, in the dispensation of grace, that's what we need to do. We can do it. Not choosing one before the other, you do it all. Not by partiality. I mean, it's got to be all. Alright? No matter what it is. And it's like, you know, I can take this chapter and it's like, and again, our church is not this way because, I mean, I work, my wife works, we don't need the church to take care of as far as any kind of financial necessities, but it is something that is laid out in the Word of God. It says in verse 17, if we're still in the same chapter, 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, it says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine." That's the primary responsibility of a pastor. It says, "For the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." But notice this, verse 19 says, "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." If there's two or three witnesses that say, "Hey, the pastor's doing this wrong," notice what it says in verse 20. "Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear." Now, I can't sit here, I'm going to be honest with Scripture and say, you guys need to make sure you fulfill it in verses 17 and 18 and 19. And let me just skip over verse 20. Because, what if I do something wrong? Well, you know. No, we're all under the authority of the Word of God. We can't do anything by partiality. What the Word of God says, that's what we need to follow. And again, specifically, our doctrine that Paul gives to us. We can't pick or choose the things that we want to do and the things that we don't want to do because, you know, if the Word of God says it, that's what we need to do. Again, within our doctrine, Romans through Philemon. That's what we're going to be held accountable for. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4, try to finish this up. Again, verse 9. It says this, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." Now notice the result if we follow this. The end of verse 9 says, "And the God of peace shall be with you." Now that should sound familiar, right? One and just 2 weeks ago, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And we talked about how we can have the peace of God in our life. Once we have the peace with God, you know, being justified by faith, we have peace with God with through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we're saved. Then we're able to have the peace of God. And how we're going to have the peace of God is by praying about the things that are on our hearts, that are on our minds. And God promises that if we are careful for nothing but in everything by prayer, we are going to have the peace of God in our hearts and our minds, our emotions, our thoughts. And so prayer is important, right? If we want to have the peace of God, we've got to be praying, right? But if we want the peace of God, what else do we need to be doing? Obeying God's Word. You can't separate prayer from the Word of God. You can't. It's a communication that we have. We communicate to God through prayer. God communicates back to us through His Word. And if we want the peace of God in our hearts and in our minds, we talk to God. We need to pray to God about these things. But we also need to do what the Word of God tells us to do. Excuse me, I promise I don't have COVID. We have Christians. Are you thinking about making it personal? Oh, I'm praying, but I still don't have peace. Are you doing what the Word of God tells you to do? You see, we like pray. You know why? Because it's a little bit easier to do that, isn't it? It doesn't require anything. I don't have to necessarily take something out. I don't have to, go to a special place to be able to pray. I can pray anywhere. I can literally be preaching to you right now and praying at the same time. Be driving down the road and I can be praying. Not even close my eyes. No, just kidding. All right? We can pray anywhere. It really doesn't take a lot of effort to pray, does it? Start talking. But when it comes to the Word of God, all of a sudden, well, that takes a little bit more effort. I got to spend some time. I actually got to get my Bible. I actually got to open my Bible. I actually got to start reading my Bible. Doing it at a time to where I'm not half falling asleep and not really getting anything out of my Bible. It requires a little bit more effort. But a lot of times I'm saying, man, I'm praying, and I just don't have peace about the situation. What does verse 9 say? Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Those are all things that are, what? Connected with the Word of God. It says, do those things. And if you're doing those things, and the God of peace shall be with you. It's not just prayer. It's prayer plus the Word of God. That's how we're going to have God with us. And it's not just that even that I read the Word of God. Not even that I know the Word of God. Not even that I understand the Word of God. It's do the Word of God. It's not hard to understand.
I want to leave you with one example that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. Be the last reference. I want you to go back to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is laying out really how the kingdom of God is going to operate to the Jews, laying it out. And then he ends, it's called the Beatitudes and that sort of thing. But I want you to notice what it says in chapter 7 and verse 24. And we'll read to the end of the chapter, actually verse 27. So Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. I want you to notice what Jesus says. We really want to have the peace of God and really understanding our accountability that we're going to have before God. It comes down to our application and actually doing what the Word of God says. Jesus says this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, not just hear, but do, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Why? Because they didn't just hear the sayings of Jesus. They didn't just hear Jesus' word. They did it. Now notice what he says, verse 26 and 27. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Have a choice. There's no in between. There isn't. Either we do the Word of God, or not. We do the Word of God, we're going to have like a house on a rock. That rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that solid foundation, that foundation that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And when the storms of life come, and they will, and they do, our house is going to stand firm. Why? Because we're doing everything that is laid out for us in God's Word. We're doing it. But if we just hear the Word of God and we don't do it, and the storms of life comes, what does it say the fall of that house is going to be? Great is the fall of it. Again, guys, this is not a hard message to understand. It's not. But it can certainly be a hard one to actually do, to actually put in practice. It doesn't mean that you have to understand everything there is to understand about the Word of God. That's just not going to happen. But what do you understand? What have you learned? What have you received? What have you heard? What have you seen? Are you doing that what you know? Am I doing what I know? Because when I'm doing that, then I can be assured by the Word of God that the God of peace is going to be with me through all the craziness that goes on in this world. And it's only getting crazier and crazier. We've all seen it. I may have mentioned it before on Facebook. You know, the meme of like, before I sign on to 2021, I want to see the terms and conditions. We all did chuckle all that.
all laugh about it because of everything that we've been through in 2020, and it's still not over yet. There's no promise that 2021 is going to be any better, obviously. We have no idea. We don't know what's... We know from the Word of God that things are going to get crazy. So we can have the peace of God in our life, not just by what we saw 2 weeks ago in dealing with prayer, not just what we saw last week in the mind and what we need to think upon, but it's a matter of the application of the truth of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, and I thank you and praise you for the day. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for all that you have shown us. Again, Lord, this is not a hard message to understand. It really isn't. But Lord, we got to understand that this is what we're going to be accountable for. You've given us your mind, your Word. We know exactly where we need to look to see what we're going to be held accountable for and the things that we need to learn, the things that we need to receive, the things that we need to hear, the things that we need to see, the things that we need to do to be able to have your peace. You have it for us right here. And you've given us the Apostle Paul and his example of following Christ according to the Word of God you have laid out and given to him. We have it right here for us. And we can look at it each and every day. Father, help us not just to hear your Word, help us to do it. And then we will have the authority that when we speak it, it may make an impact in the lives of others. Help us to do that, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.